Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, welcome everybody to the webinar put on by Raw Dog Food and Company. I'm the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company and the host of the podcast, The Raw Dog Food Truth. We hope that you guys will tune in to that podcast every week as we give you guys lots of great information to help you help your pets. Remember that every week, every Thursday, we have a way for you to beat the inflation prices. Okay, that's called Yappy Hour. Yappy Hour happens every Thursday right here at 6 p.m. to midnight, where you're going to get some sales. All right. Well, I'm so excited to have Julie Ann Lee. She is the founder and the owner of Adored Beast and Mycobiome Medicinal Mushrooms. Can I say that I take those myself? But anyway, she is the owner and the practitioner of some of the busiest and longstanding holistic veterinary hospitals and clinics in North America. This includes founding the first licensed strictly holistic veterinary clinic in Canada. We need you to come over here and do all that here. Julie works tirelessly to be a voice for those who cannot speak and to make holistic animal care accessible to every type of animal lover, no matter to which socioeconomic group you belong. In her life and in her veterinary clinics, Lee emulates the mantra of Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, who said simply, above, do no harm. Yes. This is the lesson, and it's the underpinning of her beliefs surrounding healing and health for animals and all living things. This is the fun part. She resides on her seaside farm with her boyfriend, Tony, and their rescue family of 7 horses, 2 cows, a blind potbelly pig, a one-legged duck, chickens, dogs, cats, her donkey Winston, and last but not least, a ball python, Bob. That's quite the farm, Julianne.
It's grown to 12 horses now. Wow. And more donkeys.
I love it. Yeah. A seaside farm. So you have the water right there. Now, I think in some of your pictures, I see that. Do I see that out?
Yeah, you do.
That is very cool.
Yeah, very cool. It's a beautiful place. It's pretty remote, but it's really beautiful.
I think as time goes on, more and more people want remote. Yes, remote is good.
I think we kind of... I think you kind of get to that point, right? I mean, I practiced for 20 years and had one of the busiest practices in Canada. And when I decided to come out here, it was to sort of take what I had powered through and learned and all my experience from my vet clinics in BC. And I wanted to do it for a while. And then I was like, okay, nobody wanted me to leave, who was going to practice, blah, blah, blah. But then I actually wound up teaching a 4-year postgraduate holistic veterinary program in BC and graduated about 64 vets.
Wow.
And a couple of years after that, I felt like it was okay for me to go, because there was some really awesome, awesome holistic veterinarians that were able to, like, you know, be there for my patients and stuff. So I moved out here then to try and take what I learned and what I formulated at my clinic and be able to take it to a bigger level and help more animals with it, because I felt like there just isn't enough holistic vets to go around. There really isn't, you know, they're just, I mean, it's the number one thing Adored Beast even gets to this day is like, there's no holistic clinics in my province, in my state, in my town, in my city, in my whatever. And the ones that are really good, you know, they're booked up for months and months and months. So, yeah. So that's, I came out here to try and do that, trying to offer people some support, because really all of our products, the majority of the products were formulated at my hospital. And for exactly the same reason that you just said, is that I think for the first 5 years that I practiced, all I saw was end stage stuff that was, you know, cancer, really, really end stage cancer, really bad cancer. People coming to me with animals going, if you can't help, we've exhausted all options. We've exhausted all our money. We've, you know, if you can't help us with our animals, we have to put them down. We're going to have to euthanize them. And honestly, for the first 5 years, I think that was the majority of my practice. And in that time, I really started seeing patterns. You know, like you'd be treating a dog for cancer, or you would be treating a dog for some really severe autoimmune disease or horrific skin allergies or, you know, antibiotic resistant infections or, you know, the list goes on and on. And as a raw food feeder, you know, all the dogs went on to slowly transitioned onto all, dogs and cats onto raw food at my practice. So inevitably we would see, because they were already compromised, we would see some kind of GI stuff going on. And when I then would sort of shift gears and focus a little bit more on their gut, because they had some stuff going on, everything got better. So their cancer got better. They're like, I'm not saying like they were cured, but they started to slowly improve. Their improvement became noticeable. And I thought, okay, this is really interesting because it's happening across the board. It's happening with the cancer cases. It's happening with the autoimmune, with the allergies, with the blah, 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 right? The low immune systems, high immune systems, doesn't matter. So I started to really dive into, okay, what was going on? And I would have this protocol I started creating this protocol because it started to work with everybody. And my vet techs, I remember my one main one came to me one day and said, can we please make this in bigger amounts? Because when we're taking it and we're making it individually for every single animal, it's taking us forever. And we're really noticing that these five things you're prescribing all the time. So I was like, yeah, for sure. Let's do that. And when I started to dig into every single ingredient, what it did, I spent like literally like decades looking at bacteria, looking at the gut microbiome, looking at the ingredients that I was using and why would it work there and how would it work there. And I started really learning about leaky gut. And I believe that it is the tipping point in a lot of diseases that we see today. We don't have strong gut microbiome. Nobody, not animals, not people. We have really fragile, vulnerable, unhealthy lining. And the gut really is our foundation, and that's caused from all kinds of things. And I can go through it, but you know, a large part of it as well is just our change in our habits of eating and how we purchase our food, because our food is void of bacteria, like the bacteria that grows from soil. So even if we're ingesting organic food, the soil is so depleted with minerals and the bacteria and the intellect and the DNA and the structure and everything that actually goes from that bacteria in the soil into the food that you're eating, that your dog's eating, that your horse, cat, doesn't matter, is eating.
You know, a lot of people think that bacteria is bad. I'm like, look, without bacteria, we die, right? You got to have certain amounts of bacteria.
Bacteria, not only would we die, but the majority of the planet is made up of bacteria. Like, you're probably more bacteria than you are anything else, right? So you're, the amount of bacteria, healthy bacteria in your gut should probably weigh a quarter of what you weigh. Right? Like it's a, or maybe not a quarter, but a lot, right? Like people don't understand that without bacteria, it won't matter how much you eat. The metabolites of bacteria is what produces the vitamins and the amino acids and the that processes the food you eat into bioavailability that actually gives you nutrition. So if you don't have bacteria, you could be eating every single solitary thing you're supposed to eat, but whether that gets turned into a vitamin, an amino acid, an essential fatty, whatever, is highly unlikely. So that's why, believe it or not, a lot of really people that eat healthy and animals that eat healthy are walking around malnourished because they don't have the bacteria in their gut that actually creates the metabolites that creates the nutrient value of the food we're eating.
Gotcha. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, right? We're going to talk a little bit about, and by the way, I always say that you could add some phytosynergy, right? And get a lot of vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and everything that you need. I mean, let me ask you a question about one of your products, and we're going to talk about Leaky Gut, because I would say that Phytosynergy, phytoplankton, is one of my favorite products to recommend on the raw diet. Certainly safe to put in every meal or at least once a day. What would you say about Phytosynergy?
Well, Phytosynergy is a food, so it's not a supplement. Mm. It's about how often that they're taking it. They can take it when I'm not feeling well. I take it 3, sometimes 4 times a day. Right, because it's got, you know, huge amounts of superoxide dismutase. It, if you're not feeling well and your stomach is upset, even it absorbs through the mucous membranes rather than having to go through the digestive system. It is a, you know, it's a single cell organism that is basically supplies the entire ocean with nutrients, right? So you know, it's how fish get omega-3. It's how the, you know, the whales and animal and fish should be, well, eat predominantly phytoplankton. It's how they survive. So it's definitely not something you can overdo, you know, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. As far as phyto's flora, you really don't need it more than once a day. It's so powerful. You know, it's one of the few probiotics on the market that's really backed by science. It's really the only canine species probiotic backed by science, really backed by science, like 3 years of science and research. So, and a lot of people don't understand that Phyto's flora is actually made from dog feces.
Well, people
have to know that because all the other stuff they're eating is made from cow feces. So,
okay. I
mean, people don't know what probiotics are that they just learned. The probiotic is just the organism that is actually isolated and removed, right? It goes through a big, huge sterilization. It's not even, when you say feces or cow feces or whatever bacteria that the probiotic's coming from goes into a laboratory, and the strain of probiotic of bacteria is removed. And then from that it's grown, right? So there's no feces left in it. It's a pretty incredible and we're coming out even with something even, I'm not going to say more incredible, but very exciting soon in the next couple months.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so the reason that we even created Phytosflora is because I was lecturing at a vet university about gut health, and a very, 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 very smart young veterinarian said to me, is it true that all the probiotics that we feed to animals are bovine based, right? Like they come from cattle. And I said, yes, that's true. And she said, well, why wouldn't it make sense if, you know, we know the structure of, you know, of DNA and of genetics is in our gut. Would it not make sense to have species-oriented probiotics? And I said, 100% it would. It would definitely make sense. And she said, well, why hasn't anyone done it? And why don't we have it? And I said, because nobody's done it. And I remember driving home going, oh my gosh, there goes my roof of my house, and there goes this, and there goes that. But then I wound up meeting this veterinarian and his biochemists, and they had started the study for a canine probiotic. So I started working with them, and it's just beyond what we see, because we don't know. Dogs and people are very different as far as our digestive tract goes, right? Mm-hmm. So we're built to eat different things. We're built to have our digestive happen, like the length of time that our digestive system takes to absorb nutrients is very different between all the species. So we never had any studies showing that human probiotics actually survived the acidity in a dog's gut, because it's much higher than a person or a cow, right? We're meant to be alkaline. They're meant to be acidic. Mm-hmm. So we're on the different ends of the scale. So while we knew it was viable in a person's gut, no one ever knew, is it viable in the acidity of a dog's gut? So that was one of the very first things that we tested is does this probiotic, does this bacteria stay viable from when it eats and go, and does it get to where it needs to go to be able to even grow? So, you know, that was, you know, that turned out to be incredibly positive and show that it had viability through the entire tract. And, you know, just little things like what we saw when we isolated it, which you would love to know. You know, it just makes sense to me, because we're so worried about E. coli and Salmonella and Clostridium, and veterinarians are terrified of that, right? And this probiotic has the natural defenders to suppress those bacterias, naturally suppress those bacterias, which to me was very exciting, because it's like, well, that just makes sense, because it's from a dog. Of course it's going to, because that's what they eat in the wild. Of course their natural genetic mechanism is going to be in such a way that they are able to go out and eat something that's dead. So of course it's going to be their gut bacteria is going to naturally be able to defend or ward off those diseases that veterinarians are so afraid are going to plague our dogs or our cats if we feed them raw food. So that was super cool and interesting to see, and made complete sense for me. And then, you know, from an autoimmune perspective, it actually has an immune modulation. So that's something that, you know, that's a whole nother lecture another time, is the differences when people look at, you know, when they, a lot of, you know, holistic medicine now, all, you know, we talk a lot about increasing our immune system, like strengthening our immune system, especially with COVID now and things like that, which makes sense. But it doesn't make sense when it comes to autoimmune diseases, which are things like allergies and Cushing's and cancers. Because what's happened is that at some point in our lifetime, or our dog, or our horse, or our cat, our body has had something happen where it has gone, our immune system has been triggered to go too high. And that's why dogs get Atopica, prednisone, Venectal P, all the immune suppressive drugs. And that's why they give us immune suppressive drugs when we have cancer and when we have autoimmune diseases, because our immune system is in a space where it's way, way, way too high. So while holistic medicine is amazing and, you know, and beneficial in so many ways, you don't want to be running out and giving things that are going to boost the immune system. You want to be going out and giving things that are going to bring it back into homeostasis, bring it back into balance. So if it goes too low, it brings it up. If it goes too high, it brings it down. Even with COVID, even with anything, you don't want these spikes in immunity and then big dips in immunity, which is what happens, right? So the whole thing for me in health is homeostasis and balance, bringing the body is so brilliant and it knows what to do if you allow it to be able to do that, which is understand and recognize what it needs to do in order to bring us, it will naturally bring itself back into homeostasis. We are genetically and energetically built. Our cells are built. Our immune system is built to do that. But when we're super toxic because we're eating so much glyphosate, and when we're surrounded by pollution, and we're getting, you know, we're taking lots of drugs and we're stressed out to the max, and our dogs are getting, you know, flea and tick medication and tons of vaccinations and processed food, there's a tipping point, right, where the body tries to support itself and stay balanced, and then all of a sudden it doesn't. So one of two things happen. It goes into a crash where it has no immunity, or it goes into the opposite where it starts to attack itself and attack its own cells, which is an autoimmune disease. So the really cool thing about these species-oriented probiotics and the specific herbs that I choose and the specific prebiotics that I choose, they are immune modulators. So they go in and they help to bring the body back into its natural immune state. So if it's too high, it helps to bring it lower. When it goes low, it helps to bring it back up without suppressing anything. So the bacteria is a fascinating, it's a fascinating, like without back, like to me, without bacteria, there's nothing. You know, it's, we just assume bacteria is a bad thing. You know, we pasteurize milk and we run away from dirt and we do all of this stuff to try to eradicate bacteria. I think it was one of the first things that we ever did to the demise of health and the start of chronic disease.
Dr. Jasek and I would say the number one question or frustration that we see with our pet parents, no matter if they've come off kibble, because certainly we get, you know, the diet, at least get the processed food, the processed treats out of the diet. And maybe even they have stopped using Apoquil or Cytopoint, which I think you're going to touch on. Their dogs are still super itchy and it drives them crazy. And they're constantly switching up the proteins and they're just sort of at their wit's end. We've had people that have literally said, I'm going to have to rehome this dog. because I can't afford the medications for the itching anymore. I can't get any sleep because my dog's itching all the time. Now, so I really specifically wanted to talk about leaky gut.
I was gonna say that sometimes people can't get their heads around leaky gut, right? Like the word, or you know, the saying leaky gut syndrome, or however you wanna say it. Sometimes what it makes it easier for people to understand, I'll sometimes just call it gut trauma, right? So trauma to the gut. And I think that's something that we can, if you remember that, like, because you said, you know, how do we know our dogs have leaky guts, or our cats, or our horses, or how do we know that? It's anytime an animal has, and I'll go through this, symptomatologies of something, it's never going to hurt to strengthen the gut, because it really is our foundation of everything. So it's a rapidly growing condition in animals and humans. You would think that it only affects the gastrointestinal tract, but as I'm mentioning, a lot of in human medicine, what they're finding is a lot of things that were diagnosed as different diseases, in fact, the causation of those diseases, or it showing at a certain age, was from gut trauma or from an unhealthy microbiome. And when you said to me, you know, it's really, people are changing foods and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they come to you and they say, you know, we're going to have to rehome our dog. The leaky gut protocol, when I first started at Adored Beast Apothecary, everybody thought I was absolutely out of my mind to start off with the protocol, because you buy a box and all of these things are in one box. And they're like, you need to come up with just one product, because if you don't, people aren't going to want to buy five products from you when they don't even know who Adored Beast is, or they don't know who you are, or they don't even know what leaky gut is, because this was a long time ago. But I didn't feel like I could. I felt like I was at a conference, and I remember a vet. She was one of the main vets for the SBCA in the States. Had seen thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of animals, obviously. And she said the number one reasons for elected euthanasia, so not death, but elected euthanasia, the reason that people are bringing in their dogs and euthanizing them, and for rehoming them, like bringing them to the SPCA, was skin disease. And I thought to myself, okay, you know, eventually I'll do something with cancer, or eventually I'll do whatever. But right now, this is something that I feel like I can make a massive shift with. Are all of these dogs being rehomed, you know, euthanized for skin disease? So if you think of your dog's body, our bodies looking like a house, if your foundation of your house is cracked or broken, the whole house loses its integrity and will eventually fall down. If you try and fix it, and you know, you're putting duct tape on, or you're fixing the walls, the cracks in the walls, they're just going to crack again, right? It's just sort of smoke and mirrors. We're fixing things up. We're doing things to make it look like it's okay, but eventually the whole house is going to fall down if the foundation crumbles. So your gut is responsible for over 70% of your immune system. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't know that. They feel like your immune system is like some little, you know, cavern somewhere in our body. But That's not true. Our immune system responds to what our bacteria is telling it to do from the gut. So it's a minimum of 70%. And then on top of that 70% specifically for the immune system, we have the gut brain access. So the gut basically tells the brain how and what to do as far as hormones or anything like that when it comes to keeping us healthy. It's the engine that fuels the body by absorbing nutrition, which is what I said before. If you don't have a healthy gut, you could eat the best food on the entire planet, which brings me back to what you said. You know, these people have gone from kibble and they've gone into this awesome, awesome, healthy, you know, raw food diet, real food diet, but they still are having issues. If you don't have the proper bacteria in the gut, it won't matter what you eat. It won't metabolize into what you need for a healthy body. The gut detoxifies and is our army against our invaders. So it happens. How does it happen? It happens by the digestive tract has a lining called the intestinal mucosa that works like a barrier. It keeps out large particles, but lets tiny, easily absorbed particles through. So if you imagine the gut, imagine it looking like it's got a layer of cheesecloth or a really fine strainer. So as the food digests, it allows those micronutrients then back through into the bloodstream in order for us and your dogs and your animals to get our nutrition. It also protects us. It's one of the number one things that when we're out in pollution and drugs and toxins and everything that's coming at your dog and ourselves and in our food, it's the first mode other than our skin in your dog's skin. It's our first mode of detoxification. So what leaky gut means or gut trauma means is that there's been an increase or trauma to the intestinal permeability. So the cheesecloth is stretched out or the tea strainer is damaged and the holes become bigger. This allows particles once held at bay to pass through into the bloodstream. So if you look at my fingers and you think that should be what a healthy tight mucosal junction looks like, it's tight, but there's small enough holes to allow the metabolites to create the nutrition. And then that tiny micronutrients and nutrition go into our bodies to give us nutrition. But when they become damaged, they get stretched apart, right? They get pulled apart and then the holes become like that. They become bigger. So now the gut isn't functioning how it should. Bad bacteria, undigested food particles, toxic waste are all actually leaking into the bloodstream, causing the immune system to react. So that's what it looks like. So those little, a normal gut, you can see how everything's really tight. And then you see the leaky gut where it's spread apart. And then below is the transcellular and paracellular part of our bloodstream and our blood system. And you can see how it keeps it out of the normal gut, keeps them out of that area. And then leaky gut, all the toxins and food particles and pathogens, so bad bacteria, is able to seep through and go into our bloodstream. When that happens, we see the majority of dogs that are quote unquote allergic, they aren't actually allergic. They have food reactivity. They have food sensitivities. So food intolerances happen or allergies, the immune system starts to create issues, and then we get autoimmunity. So it sort of follows that direction. And then the progression of that is when you, the inflammation of the lining, the malabsorption of nutrition, because it's not staying in the gut to allow it to metabolize and absorb, the response of the immune system. And then what happens is the response to the immune system creates food sensitivities, GI issues. And then if that's not addressed and healed, then it can go into autoimmune diseases, cancers, things like that. So what does it look like in our animals? Chronic inflammation, and that can appear differently based on the predisposition of every patient. I shouldn't say patient, but every animal. For example, how many people do we know say, you know, it's natural for our lab or our German Shepherd to get arthritis? It's just a natural thing. Well, it might be natural, but it shouldn't be natural till they're 15, right? Or it shouldn't be natural till they're 11 at least, or, you know, depending on how big they are. But that becomes, that sort of predisposition rears its ugly head much, much, much earlier with chronic inflammatory responses, because that's its predisposition. So West Highland Terriers and terriers and bullies and things like that, skin disease, Chihuahua separation anxiety, collapsing trachea, border collies that would nip more, have sort of behavioral issues. These are all known symptoms, supposedly, with different breeds of animals that shouldn't happen until they're much, much older, if ever, but happens really, really, comes on with really early, early in their life. So autoimmune diseases can look like allergies, skin disease, thyroid diseases, hypothyroidism, inflammatory bowel disease, joint disease, interstitial cystitis, chronic cystitis, gingivitis, heart disease, collapsing tracheas, laryngeal paralysis. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nutritional deficiencies, gallbladder, chronic pancreatitis, chronic kidney disease, some forms of cancer, and lots of emotional, mental health issues and unexplained symptoms.
Can I ask a quick question there, Julianne? Yeah. So I just had where you're talking about the laryngeal paralysis. So one of my employees last night just had to rush her dog to the vet because of this laryngeal paralysis. So my question would be, if any of our listeners here today, our attendees, if their dogs have any of these symptoms, would going through a leaky gut syndrome, is that repairable? Something like a laryngeal paralysis?
So I can speak from a perspective of working with laryngeal paralysis at my clinic. And the reason I believe it has a correlation with leaky gut is because, again, laryngeal paralysis is a syndrome or a disease that can, I think, come on from the lack of the body consuming. Well, first of all, your dog would have that predisposition, right? Unless it was injured with a choke chain, injured with, you know, prong collars, shock collars, whatever, you can cause it from a trauma. But from a natural perspective, a trachea, when I look at tracheas, when I look at collapsing tracheas, when I look at laryngeal, when I look at smooth muscle, There's an inflammatory response that happens in both of those that creates like a chronic inflammation that creates that muscle to not work properly, whether it's not to open properly or to fold up against itself or not to have the neurological signals to be able to open it and close it. When we think of why does that happen, the more you can, we worked with laryngeal paralysis and collapsing trachea a lot. And we had, depending on how bad it was, you know, if they're coming in and it's completely collapsed and they're 13 years old, and we still were able to do some stuff with them. But working with your dog's gut with any of these things will really, really help the body to decrease the inflammatory response, start giving the nutrients. Like if you're going to feed trachea, feed larynx, actually go into Chinese medicine and give your dog, give it kidney. If it's got kidney disorder, give it liver, give it gallbladder, give it the organ that it's deficient with. But if your gut's not going to absorb it because it is traumatized, it won't matter what you give it. It's not gonna help. So in the case of this laryngeal paralysis, if it's early, whether it's early or not, if she's going to treat it, 100%, I would be looking at nutritional, like giving it larynx, giving it things, but also contacting a vet that does homeopathy, because homeopathy can really, 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 really help support that. And then getting the proper healing the gut so that the inflammation stops, because if you're not going to get anywhere, if your body is in this constant reactive state where it's like, oh my gosh, now this toxin's coming into the bloodstream, and oh my gosh, now this piece of protein is coming into my bloodstream completely undigested, and this is coming, it's overreactive, it can't pay attention to what it needs to heal. It's got to, even if you're on drugs, even if this dog has to go on drugs, even it doesn't matter. The chronic inflammatory reactive state that the body goes into when it gets gut trauma has to be stopped, or you're going to keep spinning your wheels, right?
Yeah.
You're just going to have chronic inflammation, period. And it's going to go into anything, any diabetes, you know, Alzheimer's, geriatric vestibular syndrome. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So some of the main causes of leaky gut is over vaccinations, vaccines given before the decline of maternal antibodies, then any vaccines done without a prior titer test. Now, this is not saying that you don't vaccinate your dogs. This is saying that you do it scientifically. You use the scientific proof. So many people now, these puppies, they're like, oh, you know, come buy this puppy, come buy this kitten. It's already spayed, it's already neutered, and it's already fully vaccinated, and it's not even 8 weeks old. So from a science base, that makes no scientific sense. The mother's maternal antibodies are really strong till 10 to 12 weeks of age. And when you give a vaccine prior to that, all it does is confuse the immune system, because the immune system doesn't understand, how did this get in here when I already have antibodies? I've already been vaccinated. My mom's vaccinating me right now, right? The antibodies that my mom has given me to be healthy until I'm a certain age, until I can get out and get, you know, different antibodies, or until I can be vaccinated or whatever, it's doing its best. But then when you add a vaccine to a body that's already got adequate antibodies, you can do a lot of damage. And one of those things is creating the body to go into a confused immune state. Poor diet, processed diet filled with GMO foods, void of a lot of bacteria, essential fatty acids, and antioxidants. So it doesn't have any of that stuff in it. So it's not giving you the nutrients that you need to have, that your animal needs to have. Toxins and drugs, NSAIDs, primarily antibiotics. I would say that the number one reason for dysbiosis in the original first starting of gut trauma is antibiotics. Most dogs are on antibiotics before they're 6 months old, right? They're given some kind of antibiotic from an ear infection or a puppy vaginitis, or the list goes on and on. So as soon as you do that, then you're already starting to have the good bacteria killed and then the bad bacteria killed. It doesn't differentiate, but then what happens is that the pathogenic bacteria, the bad bacteria, overtakes the good bacteria, and then you wind up with a gut that has really, really, really low diversity and a very unhealthy microbiome in its gut. So topical flea and tick products, glyphosates, absence of good bacteria, takeover of stealth microbes, which is what I was just saying about, and chronic stress, right? Like, I know people, you know, in the day, 1994 is when I started all of this. You know, I would tell people about raw food diets. They thought I flew in on a broom. They thought I was insane, especially having a vet clinic, right? They're like, they didn't even know what to say to me. But now, you know, you can hear people go, my dog's a mess. I do raw food. I don't over-vaccinate. I do titer tests instead. I don't do topical flea and tick, or if I do, it's super, super minimum. They haven't been on antibiotics and blah, 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 and they're still itchy. So stress is a big one for animals, right? A lot of animals will, with their owners, which is awesome, but then now people are going back to work and their animals are getting stressed, or people are really stressed because of COVID, right? So animals are really stressed. They don't get out enough. They don't get to play enough. They don't get in enough. They're pack animals, right? They need to be with their family, and they need to be, you know, how bored and stressed would you be if you had to stay home all day and you couldn't go on the computer, or you couldn't practice yoga, or you couldn't listen to meditation, or you couldn't work from home? You'd be pretty stressed. So chronic stress does play into leaky gut as well for animals. So just a recap quickly, causes of leaky gut is over vaccinations, processed food, lack of exercise, pesticides, GMOs, chemical toxins, you know, drugs, things like that. The other thing is that the imbalance then causes an imbalance. It causes a chronic inflammatory response, and it causes the ability for all of these things that should be kept at bay to go into the bloodstream. And then that creates an IgG immune response, an IgA reaction, and B and T cells are released, which is like, if you think of what an allergy would look like, or when you think of a body that's overreactive, that's basically what happens. So when we treat our animals for things like leaky gut, we need to be positive that we are looking at every physiological component so that the gut can actually heal correctly. Now, that was a big thing for me, because when I came out with leaky gut, you can't just give bacteria and think that it, like, good bacteria like probiotics, and go, oh, I'm giving good probiotics, or I'm giving kefir, or I'm giving yogurt, or, and think that that's going to actually heal leaky gut, especially if they're really bad and they've had lots of drugs because they have skin disease. So in order to address leaky gut the way it needs to be addressed on all levels, a client in my clinic would have to go out and purchase about 33 individual ingredients. And that's what did happen originally. So when I had my practice, I would give them a list of things to go out and get, right? So L-glutamine, slippery elm, marshmallow root, a prebiotic, a really good probiotic. And then we'd have to do liver cleanses, and they would go out, and they would have to, their counters were literally filled with stuff. So then I was like, okay, this is crazy. I'm going to go out. I'm going to start making this at the clinic, and we'll mix it up, and we'll give it to them in a jar so that they're not so overwhelmed. You're already, like you said, people with animals with skin disease are so sleep deprived. They're financially deprived. They're stressed to the max. They're feeling guilty or feeling fearful. It's brutal. Like it's a brutal thing. So that's why I started to formulate my own. So the process that happens behind my theory and my protocol that I do about healing the gut is to trauma occurs and the gut becomes inflamed. So then what we need to do is most animals have been over vaccinated. And I can't stress this again. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be vaccinated. It means that they're getting too many vaccines. They're getting, you know, there are really, really scientifically proven safe vaccine protocols, but they don't get them, right? The majority of animals get too many vaccinations, and it causes the immune system to be overreactive. So the first thing that we do is we try to remove the side effects from things like vaccination. So we use our homeopathic protocol. And what that does, it doesn't remove the antibodies. It doesn't remove all of the positive things that vaccines do. It helps the body to regulate its thought process of being overreactive. It helps to remove mercury. It helps to remove like thimerosal. It helps to remove heavy metals, the things that are needed in vaccines in order to be able to, for the vaccine to even be able to do its job. Then by adding pre and probiotics and enzymes to aid in the digestion. So it's going to take time, right? You're not going to just start doing this and bingo, the gut's going to heal. So my understanding when I first started this was, how do we get these dogs? Like you said, okay, so they're on turkey. Let's say they go on turkey. They're amazing for a month or 3 weeks or 3 months. And all of a sudden then they're allergic to turkey again. What you need to do is you need to help them body until that mucosal junction is tight again. You need to try and break down those food particles as much as you possibly can. You need to do what the gut should be doing when it's healthy, before it's completely healthy. So you feed it pre and probiotics, you get them the microbiome, you get the diversity up, and then you give an enzyme in order to help the body break the food down so that the places where the gut is still leaking, you're at least leaking things in a digestive that's already been sort of pre-digested rather than undigested. Because that's when they go, okay, here comes this massive turkey molecule again. I'm going to kill that molecule because it's causing my body to go into a defender mode. So I'm going to look at that turkey molecule as an enemy, not as nutrition that's going to give me life. I'm actually going to look at it as an enemy. So the next thing that's in the kit is gut soothe. So what we want to do all at the same time is we want to replenish the mucosal lining and decrease inflammation, because nothing is going to heal. If you have a cut on your skin and you're rubbing that cut every day, it's not going to heal, right? It's going to be chronically inflamed, and it's going to be, it's going to like slough off new healthy cells. You're doing a very similar thing only in the gut. You're replenishing the mucosal lining and you're decreasing the inflammation. And how we do that is we get in, I'm just going to go back one, hang on. So in Gut Soothe, we have, remember when I was saying we have things like slippery elm, we have L-glutamine, we have marshmallow root, we have aloe, we have specific nutraceuticals and specific herbs and acetylglucosamine that are specific smooth muscle anti-inflammatories. So people go, oh, glucosamine. It's not glucosamine. It's N-acetylglucosamine, which is very, very different. That's to decrease the inflammation in a smooth muscle, not in a joint. So we need that inflammation of that cheesecloth. We need the inflammation of that tea strainer to completely decrease, or those cells are not going to, they're just simply not going to heal. Then I've put together a homeopathic remedy that also has things like arnica and thiocyanium and collagen and different kinds of homeopathic calendula that increase the healing process. So it increases the epithelial cells. It helps to decrease inflammation. It strengthens the tissue with homeopathic collagen. So while we're doing that, what we're actually doing is that what you don't want to happen with leaky gut that a lot of people don't understand, and it's really unique to a dog beast, and is when you have a cut on your arm, let's say your trauma to your gut, think of a cut somewhere else or an injury somewhere else. What happens when that heals? You get scarring, right? So if you have a quite a deep cut on your arm, when that cut heals, you get a scar. When you look in an x-ray, that's why I have this x-ray here, with dogs that have inflammatory bowel disease, dogs that have chronic digestive issues, or cats, when you take a x-ray, they have, the first thing that you'll read on that radiology report is a thickened gut lining. That thickened gut lining is scarring, right? Depending on how severe or not severe. So as you're healing it, one of the main things we focus on is that it doesn't scar. Because if it scars, sure, you're not going to have leaky gut as bad, but you still won't have the absorption that a healthy gut would have. And then liver tonic is another big one, because while you have leaky gut, you're toxic. Your body is toxic when you have leaky gut, because the gut lining is allowing bacteria to go through, and then guess what has to overwork? You see a lot of animals that have had leaky gut for a long time, they wind up getting either kidney or liver disease. And that's because all of those organs have to work double and triple time to detoxify all the stuff that the gut was supposed to be detoxifying to begin with. So really, there's four easy steps. You remove, rebalance, replenish, and restore. We remove with trying to decrease the body's toxicity, chronic toxicity, with removing or almost like chelation therapy of heavy metals and toxins. Then we want to rebalance. That's not going to happen overnight. So then we're going to be using the enzymes to rebalance the natural flora. And then we're going to replenish the gut lining so that we decrease the inflammation. We're going to then plant the seeds once everything's, not as inflamed. We're going to replant the seeds with a microflora of 14 strain probiotic. We're going to use a prebiotic to make sure that they stay there and they flourish and they they co-create and populate, and then that's when the healing really happens. And then we're going to restore it by giving the calendula and the thiocyanium and the collagen to actually restore the lining. And then the last one actually, we talked about the liver tonic and what's in the liver tonic, which is milk thistle and Cardus marianus. It actually, the interesting thing about milk thistle, or not milk thistle, liver tonic, is that a lot of liver support and liver detox only does the liver. And we were taught at school, you have to look at the body as having systems. It's a finely tuned machine. You don't just compartmentalize the liver. The kidneys are working, the gallbladder is working, the pancreas is working. They're all working synergistically to detoxify the body. So liver tonic deals with pancreatic issues. It deals with kidney issues and liver issues and gallbladder issues. So it helps to support and restore that whole system. And then the last thing is relax. When you start to, what I do really mean this, I honestly do really mean this. When you start to really go, okay, I have a plan, and that plan of attack is to heal the foundation of my dog's body. You really can breathe, because it is, in my opinion, it's something that you need to do no matter what's going on, because the majority of us and animals are walking around that don't have a healthy gut. And you really can believe, no matter what's going on, you can believe that you're on the right track when you start looking at gut health. And I just wanted to show this picture. This is a picture of a little dog that was one of my very first ever leaky gut protocols at my practice. And she came to us and she was going to be euthanized. And as you can see, that dog had everything done to her. They spared no cost. She was on every drug on the planet. You couldn't touch her without her crying. She was in so much, her skin hurt so bad. She was depressed. She didn't want to eat. I mean, I honestly could see why they wanted to do that, but she wasn't even a year old. And I thought to myself, I can't do this. So we took her on at the practice, and we had, at that point, we had four veterinarians, and I think we had a staff of I don't even know how many, but a lot of us. We took care of this dog. One of us took her home every night. Wasn't force feeding. We actually fed her, and she would eat when we fed her. And then I started working on her, and she was, I don't know, her name's Angel. We named her that. And it was like, we have actual pictures as the process goes on, but you can see her now. I think this whole process took about, for her to look like that, and then that picture was, I think, almost a year. But she was really happy. Like, her first thing that changed with her was her personality. She was happy. She wanted to go out. She ran around. She barked. She jumped up on you. So
that's amazing. Anyway,
that's the other thing about Adored Beast that why I think this protocol probably works as well, and why people really like it. This isn't a sales pitch. It's just something people don't understand this with supplements or with things that are out there. Every single thing, when you said to me, I take it myself. You were like whispering. I take almost everything in our line. And that's because it's made in a human professional company, compounding company, which isn't even it's I look at animal grade, and then I look at human grade, which you might see in, you know, superstore and big box stores, things like that. Then I look at health food store grade, which are, you know, usually people that are passionate about what they do and find products, like take time to look at products and how they're sourced. Ours is actually made in a human professional compounding company that just makes them for naturopathic doctors. So they were, they're ethically sourced, organic, never tested on animals, non-GMO, gluten-free soy feed, no colors, no fillers. And it has 100% guarantee because we can, because we've used it so much. The majority of stuff that we have, when people, if people get nervous, these protocols and these products have been used on thousands of animals. People don't know that in the animal industry, you can come up with beautiful packaging and decide that you want to jump on board and make supplements, and you can do it without testing it on anything. So everything that we have is has been used in my practice with everything from super sick animals to animals that just want to maintain health.
You know, so, I think because people know that you can share these with your animals, that's why the anti-vaccinosis, which is getting a name change, by the way, to rebalancer, but I think that's why it's been sold out for, you know, all across everywhere. I think I have one bottle left because I think people are taking that themselves, but they're amazing.
Everything is, like I said, there's nothing that a human can't take. I wouldn't give my animals anything that I couldn't take. I have 40 animals here on my farm, and none of them get anything that I wouldn't take.
I'd sent my brother some stuff, and he said, "Is it natural for me to want to eat grass now?" And I said, "And poop, but hey, that's okay."
And wipe your tail.
Okay. Do we have time for a couple of questions, Julianne?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Is gut protocol a lifelong treatment, or can you use it over and over again? And here's why. One of my customers used the protocol previously. It worked great, but then after she stopped the dog's progress or stopped using the program or went through the entire thing, the dog became itchy again. What would you say about that?
So, again, sometimes, like, that's why we came out with the Yeasty Beast protocol as well, because what'll happen sometimes is that the yeast will take over and it's really, really, really strong. So you'll do the leaky gut protocol, the gut starts to get better, but then the yeast will sort of overtake it again or come out again. So we recommend for animals that have had bad skin disease or have been on a lot of drugs, we'll do like a protocol of leaky gut, then we'll do a protocol of Yeasty Beast, and then you go back to leaky gut, because yeast is it's a disgusting thing. It's got almost like these little, I want to say teeth or claws, and it causes gut. It will tear the gut lining, like it will eat away and irritate the gut lining, so that it can actually be a cause of leaky gut. So we'll do it that way. Or sometimes everything in our line has been made to be able to rotate.
Okay.
So sometimes, like, you know, you really like Phytosflora, so do I. I actually have something called a relief program and a relief protocol for animals that have had like Angel. So we'll do a one leaky gut, then we'll go into Phytosflora, then we'll go back to leaky gut, then we'll go to Yeasty Beast, then we'll go back into Phytosflora, and then we'll go back into leaky gut. And there's a method to that madness, which is each one of those things supports the gut, but focuses on something independently, like yeast, like with Phytosflora, adding those two different really canine species probiotic using fulvic and humic acid is another thing that helps to has been proven to support the permeability, so the strength of the gut lining. It's also incredible for chelation therapy to help to detox at the same time. So when you rotate through these products, what winds up happening is you kind of, if things are lurking, it's almost like you're either chasing them to move them out, or you wind up being able to bring the body back into balance without them becoming reactive. So it's a much, I'm all about being gentle. I'm not, in my practice, I didn't do heavy duty detoxes. I never did heavy duty liver cleanses. I never did anything like that. My main thing is, are they happy? Are they eating? What's their energy like? What's their mood like? That was so incredibly important for me at the same time as I was working with their body, because it's all connected. You can't, for me, I'm not saying for anyone else, I can't look at helping a body heal. I'll never take credit for healing anything ever. Our bodies are so brilliant. Give them the right tools, it knows what to do. So I would never say, I know exactly what's wrong with the dog. I know exactly what's wrong with cat. I have no idea. Our bodies are so brilliant. That's why, you know, immunology, we know nothing about immunology. I've been studying gut microbiome for 20 years. We have just touched the surface of it. We know that there's certain bacterias that help support the kidneys, help support the brain, help support fat loss, help support, like, it's just, we don't even know what we're doing. So my take on this is, when I give a body, whether it's my body, whether it's my dog or my horse, it doesn't matter, I give it enough tools and I rotate those tools so that it can do what it needs to do. It knows what it's need to do. You give it the right plant medicine. You give it the right plant intelligence. You give it the right, every bacteria has its own intelligence, right? It has a specific thing that it does. You give it enough of those things, not all at once, but as you rotate it, the body's going to know what to take and where to put it.
What would you say, Julianne, about Cytopoint and Apoquil being the kind of be all end all? I had a customer that emailed me prior to this. He wasn't able to be on, but he said, you know, I'm kind of suspicious about why my dog passed away with, you know, and he listed off some things, because he had a very itchy dog and they suggested, you know, Apoquil, and that dog was on that protocol for a long time. He says, amazingly, you know, it helped the dog stop itching, but the dog did die of some other traumatic things.
Mm-hmm. Again, for me, it's all about quality of life, not necessarily about how long my dog's going to live or even how long I'm going to live. I'm much more about quality of life and non-suppressive measures. So I'm going to speak from just me. I'm not very happy when I'm suppressed in any way, shape, or form. So I'm not a personality that does well with not being able to speak my mind, not being able to do what I want to do that makes me happy, not being able to be in a thing that makes me happy. When I look at my animals, I'm very aware what they look like when they're on drugs, because I've rescued. So when animals come in to see me, they're on everything. And when animals came in to see me at my clinic, they were on everything. And one of the people used to say to me, why does it take 2 hours to do an intake? Because it would take 2 hours. And before I even got that intake, They had to call every single vet they had ever been with and send me the records. And I would get like records, like, you know, synopsis. And I'd be like, no, I don't want synopsis. I want every single page of every single thing that happened to this animal from right. every single clinic. And I used to call it drug pathology, right? Your animal no longer has a disease, in my opinion, or an organic disease. It has drug pathology. It started with an organic disease often, or not, or it started off with a tiny drug pathology. But now it has layers and layers and layers and layers of suppression. So I am not an anti-drug person. I love drugs in the right situations, right? In the right situations, emergency treatments, emergency situations where you've got to do things that will save its life, right? Like I am not an anti-drug. I'm not an anti-vax. I'm not really an anti anything.
Except anti-suppression. Anti-suppression.
I am. Because what happens right. is if you think of a pipe. Okay. So this pipe has a hole in it. And think of that being an itch, your dog being itchy. So that hole starts off small, right? And it's squirting out some water. And you go to the doctor, you go to the vet, or you do whatever, and you go, my dog is itchy, or my pipe has a hole in it. So a drug will go on to that, and it's like a miracle. It's like you take duct tape and you wrap it around that little hole. All of a sudden, there's no water leaking. All of a sudden, your dog's not itchy anymore. And it's like, oh my God, everybody's happy, right? My house isn't going to flood from the leak. My kitchen sink is working now when it was leaking before. My dog isn't itchy anymore. We can sleep. Oh, look at this. It's cured. Everybody, that's the problem. People think it's a cure. It's not a cure. It's a tape wrapped around something. Well, where that tape is wrapped around, that hole is getting bigger. It's not going away. It's not sealing it. It's actually getting bigger. And then the drug comes off, or the drug stops, or the tape falls off, and it comes back with a vengeance, right? It bursts out. And then when it comes back, it's way worse. Then we go on a different drug, and then we go on allergy foods, and then we give another drug. And the whole time what's happening, we're going on allergy foods, so we're giving less nutrients. We're giving processed ligands and processed food that's creating more damage to the gut. We're destroying the microbiome instead of adding to the microbiome and making it healthier. We're giving stronger drugs, right? Which is suppressing it more. It's just pushing it down. It's not taking it away. So then I'll see people where they come in and they just rip them off of all the drugs. And then the animal has a rebound effect even. So it's like, here's the drug, here's the body. Here's the body, here's the drug. The drug's going like this. It's just holding them at bay, keeping everything sort of, you know, honky-dory here. You take them off the drugs, it goes like that. It pushes forward because it's being pushed down. It's being suppressed. And I'm sounding super, super anti-drug. I'm not. We're not looking at the core reason of why. We can still use drugs. We can still use vaccines. We can still use all of this awesome science and brilliance and everything, but no one's looking at why. Why is it happening? So let's give them some drugs, or let's do this, or let's do that from a science pharmaceutical. Let's go full-blown pharmaceutical. Let's do the pharmaceuticals. Let's do the vaccines. Let's do the drugs. But let's then give them some relief, give them some safety, give them however you want to however you want to say it. Say it however you want to say it, and I'm fine with that. Give them some relief. Give them peace of mind. Give them safety. Give them whatever you want. But then let's look at why it's happening. Why is it happening? And let's get to the core issue. Then once we get to the core issue, we can start backing off on the drugs. Slow, 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 slow. We're increasing, we're backing off, we're increasing, we're backing off. That's when you get full healing, right? So it's not using drugs in place of good medicine, like what I call good medicine, which is finding out why and fixing the problem, right? To me is not good medicine. Using drugs in place of food, using drugs in place of creating a healthy microbiome, using drugs in place of removing the stress, using drugs instead. How many times do you go in and someone says, so what's different in your household? You know, I've sat with people for days and days and days, like, and I can't figure out why this dog's not getting better. And then I finally say to them, can you just bring your whole family in? Because there's something wrong, right? The whole family comes in. And then I find out someone's got a really bad drug problem. It's stressful as anything. How I do it, I don't even know, but I wind up helping people go to counseling, lowering the stress, and lo and behold, the dog gets better. Well, no amount of drugs is going to help that dog. No amount of food's going to help that dog. You got to look at the whole storyline. You got to look at the whole situation. So when we're talking about these two particular drugs, they're a crutch. They're not a cure, and they're not even helpful if you're using them as a crutch and not going to why it's happening in the beginning. And just doing an allergy test, that's going to do nothing, because eventually if you don't heal that gut, it's going to be allergic to everything. What are you going to do? Put it in a bubble? Feed it nothing? Feed it air?
We see that a lot, Julianne. We see that a lot. I don't sell allergy tests. Dr. Jasek doesn't either, because what happens is we get these parents that go down a rabbit hole, right? It says they're allergic to everything. So now they're feeding duck, 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 or turkey, 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 or chicken, 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 or beef, 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 right? And that has its own problems associated with it. But I have a Frenchie owner here who's a customer of ours as well. I've seen this on several Frenchies. That is the only breed I have seen this on. I don't know that it's in other breeds, but this is the one breed specifically I see this issue. Whether they're eating kibble, a processed foods, or they're eating a raw diet, they go in for a spay or neuter and their ALT levels or their, you know, liver enzymes are off the charts. And, you know, they are looking for liver shunts. Maybe they don't have a liver shunt. The dog doesn't necessarily show any symptoms, but these enzymes are sky high. Dr. Jasek has been successful bringing those down with some Chinese herbs. But what do you think causes that? Julia, that's something that, you know, whenever we get new Frenchies, I'm always like, oh gosh, here comes the, you know, and when they start to go in and get spay or neuter, those questions are going to come up.
Yeah. Well, I would wonder if some of it is genetic, right? I would wonder if some of it is, you know, even oxygen deprivation. You know, not being able to, like, your oxygen levels, your heart and your liver are very, you know, your blood flow, your chi, your ability to detox your oxygen, even, with the amount of oxygen that you're getting. I know a lot of, you know, bulldogs are truly oxygen deprived. You know, I know a lot of breeders that are trying to breed them with, you know, longer noses and longer palates, right? I would be maybe thinking of that. I would be maybe thinking of you know, I don't know. Like, I just have to think of epigenetics and genetics and, you know, where, because I know there's not, they're not shunts. You know, I've had so many do the same thing and they don't have shunts. Shunts, they're there. They are there. But I feel like there's a lot more to the, to, at 6 months of age, if they don't have a shunt, why is their livers, why are their livers not filtering correctly, right? Not working in a way that needs to be worked. I don't know if this breeder is a raw food breeder, like if these puppies are being bred from like, are they being raised on raw? Are the mothers being raised on raw? There's a lot that again, like I said, when you don't have a good microbiome, when you have hereditary stuff, like your microbiome is your native microbiome. If your mother doesn't have a good microbiome, you're not going to have a good microbiome. If the mothers have been, you know, on lots of drugs and eating processed food, chances are the puppies are not going to be healthy in that way. You know, they just aren't until you reestablish that. So, but I would be thinking sometimes oxygen, sometimes, you know, I can't say for every single dog, but I would say that the same way I talked about labs getting hip dysplasia or German Shepherds, saying, you know, why are all these German Shepherds being x-rayed and they've got hip dysplasia when they're a year old?
Right. And well, I have two, so, and mine are fine. So I don't like to hear that, oh, well, all German Shepherds this or all labs that or whatever.
No, and maybe when your German Shepherds are 16, they might show signs of arthritis in the hips.
She's right? 13 now. She's 13.
So the same when I'm talking about Frenchies, like maybe Frenchies have that predisposition that when they're 16, 17 years old, they may sure maybe start showing liver, you know, a sluggish liver, things like that, but they shouldn't be showing it when they're 6 months old.
Well, what can you do about a dog that's oxygen deprived because of their structural being? I mean, how do you
start breeding them with longer, soft palates? Start choosing your lines with longer, soft palates so that they can get the amount of dogs that I know that have to have cleft or palate surgery. Holy Hannah banana. Because they're too short to have quality of life. Just simply can't get enough oxygen.
I said one last question. This is going to be a quick question, but if you have two dogs, Julianne, and you have a protocol, is one protocol, a leaky gut, a yeasty bees or whatever, a jar of something or a protocol, that is you finish that entire protocol for one animal and then move on?
Yeah. Unless sometimes what can happen is if you're looking at something like Angel, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and you start to increase that healthy bacteria in the gut and it starts to stimulate the immune system and make the animal stronger, what can happen is that you can kill the yeast too quickly and then you can get a yeast die-off, right? And a yeast die-off looks exactly like an allergy or yeast. So you don't know from when you look at the dog, it's getting itchier and itchier and itchier. Really, it's not getting itchier and itchier. The yeast is dying. It's producing all of these toxins and it's making it itchier because it's of the toxins. So sometimes we do, in cases like that, we'll do 2 weeks of leaky gut. 2 weeks of yeasty beet or 2 weeks of leaky gut, 2 weeks of phytosflora, 2 weeks of yeasty beast. We'll go slow. Like we'll go really, really slow. And then, you know, people think, oh my gosh, it's going to cost all this money. It's not, because it's like you buy all the protocols and it lasts you for a year.
Right.
Because you're going as slow as your dog needs to go. Right. So if your dog needs to be on the leaky gut for a week, and then go into Phytos Flora for a week and then go into Leaky Gut again or Yeasty Beast, you will get a sense of what is working for your dog, right? Or your cat or whatever. But what I wanted to say that's really important is for people that are really struggling with their dog's health, whether that's whatever it is, but if it's, let's say, allergies or skin disease, because you say that you hear that a lot, right? They have to understand that we're so conditioned to not take control of our animals' lives. And we're so, it's sort of like poo-pooed to do that or reprimanded, you know, don't second guess what your doctor gives you. Don't second guess what your veterinarian gives you. Don't take control of our lives, our animals' lives. Like, heaven forbid we do that. But it's also conventional medicine, and this is no disrespect. From a perspective of an owner, it can be a easier, you don't have to take as much time and energy sometimes, right? To just give them a pill and a bag, a scoop of prescription diet, mm-hmm. right? Or take them into the groomers to have a medicated shampoo or whatever. It removes you from actually taking part in your dog's healing. So when people really want to go down that holistic route and really want to make a shift in their own lives or their animal's life, I really need to let them know that it's a change of philosophy. So you have to pay attention, and we're also conditioned to be distracted. You know, watching Netflix, being on our computer, being on Facebook, you know, researching, when really what we need to do is pay attention to our dog or our cat or our horse or our child or ourselves and go, oh, this is interesting. I put her on the Leaky Gut and she does amazing for a week, but then she starts getting itchy again. Well, that's important to know. And you're not going to know that if you're not paying attention. So I tell people to get journals and diaries and write stuff down so that if you're busy and you're running to work or you're running around your kids or you're whatever you're doing, you can go back and go, wow, this is really a pattern, which comes right back to what you talked about at the very beginning. We all have patterns. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you can get closer to what your dog's pattern is, I've formulated and produced products that will fit with their patterns, right? So they may need Leaky Gut for 1 week and then Phytos Flora for 3 weeks and then a Yeasty Beast for 1 week. You're not going to hurt your dog. You're not going to cause harm. Paying attention and going, oh, that's interesting. He's better on, look at this. He's better on it. Soon as I took him off of Phytos Flora and I put him on this, he got worse again, right? So even though he is going to probably need a yeast protocol, maybe he needs to stay on Phytos Flora for a whole month. You know, there is no real ironclad thing. We have guidelines to really help people that are super simple, because it has to be simple. Super simple, but for the really, really tough cases and the animals that have had a lot of suppression, it never hurts to pay attention to your animal. You just, all that, the side effect of paying attention to your animals, you spend more time with your animal and then you learn to know them more, so that when they are old, you know, like I said, oh my gosh, he's so much happier when he's on the Leaky Gut protocol. He's actually happier. Well, what that says to me is he feels better. He physically probably doesn't hurt as much. He's probably got more cognitive awareness because he's getting the proper bacteria that goes from his gut to his brain, right? He's overall happier. He's producing serotonin. He's producing the hormones that actually make him happy. Whereas those hormones are directly related to bacteria. If you don't have the right hormones in your gut, you won't produce the hormones that make you happy. That's why they know they're really, for people, they are researching specific strains of bacteria for depression and anxiety, right? Because, you know, certain people aren't producing enough of those, which means they're directly affects their hormones. It's the same with dogs. There's no difference.
Yeah, I agree. And we call that when you take control, Julianne, of your dog's health, we call that growing big balls of courage here.
Okay. So,
awesome. Big bison testicles of courage, if you will.
Okay. Perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, we so appreciate your time today. Such a wealth of information. You guys, you can always go over to adoredbeast.com. All right. There's a blog there. Julia, you have videos on all of these products. Where do you think that the easiest place to get to your videos are?
You just go to YouTube. We have an Adored Beast station, YouTube station. So
great.
You just type in Adored Beast and it'll all the videos come up and you're like, okay, I want to learn more about, you know, whatever I'm talking about, whether it's sourcing, how do you know how to find the right material that goes into a probiotic, or whether you want to learn more about leaky gut or kidney failure or liver disease or whatever, or just products. I want to learn more about gut soothe. What does gut soothe do? I want to learn more about phytosflora. What is, you know, I want to dig in, whatever. I just want to learn more about the product, or learn more about, you know, my opinion of why allergies happen, my opinion about why chronic disease happens. You know, there's, you know, fish, I've got a thing on fish oil. I've got different things out there, and it's just Adored Beast Apothecary. Some people like watching videos. If you go on our website, we have detailed information about each product. We've got tons and tons of articles, tons of blogs about everything from stress and oxytocin and love hormones and raw feeding. And, you know, there's lots and lots of different things.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And you guys remember, use that discount code RAW15 when you check out for any of the Adored Beast products that we have. If we run out, go over to their website, adoredbeast.com. And again, remember, here at Raw Dog Food and Company, your pet's health is our business. We're friends, don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you guys soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.